Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'm Robert A. Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom NLI Radio. And tonight we have Dr. Joe with us. And Dr. Joe has worked as both an educator and a child psychologist. He has devoted his 30-year career to helping children by working closely with the child's family and teachers, as well as the child. His broad experiences as an educator and a psychologist gives Dr. Joe a unique approach to helping children reach their full potential in their academic and social performance. Dr. Joe has earned his doctorate in counseling psychology in 1987 from Boston University and his master's in elementary school counseling from Northeastern University. And Dr. Joe is a member of the American Psychological Association, the Association of Advancement of Psychology, and the Florida Psychological Association. Dr. Joe maintains the highest level of knowledge in the field of psychology. And without any further ado, I want to bring on Dr. Joe so we get as much information for kids and how to expand the world and open kids up to seeing their talents today. Welcome to the show, Dr. Joe.
Oh, Rob, thank you so much. And I've been looking forward to doing a show with you all day. And it is my pleasure to be here, sir.
Well, it is mine, too. But you also have something called Nessentials. And that's helping with feeding their children. And tell people how you're involved with that and how the children of today are, well, actually, they're the ones that will probably lead the older generation into prosperity with their computer talents.
Well, sure, Rob. It's my pleasure to share a few thoughts. Again, thank you for that nice introduction. I've had the pleasure of practicing here in sunny Boca Raton, Florida, for the past 25 years. Came down after training in Boston, and for me, Rob, and I know you're in the helping professions as well, for me, I think it's a good fit with my personality. I was raised by my mom and dad. I'm blessed. They're still alive at 87 and 85, and they were school teachers, so I grew up in this sort of helping, you know, it's our job to make a big dent in the universe. And so I taught second grade and went on and got the degrees, et cetera, and training came down. And for me, being a child and family psychologist has been a true labor of love. I enjoy trying to help kids get unstuck. I believe that it's important if you're going to have the pleasure and the luxury of working with children that you don't see children in a vacuum. They're a part of a family system, which is why we do a lot of family work here in the office, I've been doing it for a long time, and Rob, as I was sharing with you earlier when we were chatting, a very nice thing happened a few years ago that sort of took me out of my role as a child psychologist, and that's the new Essentials opportunity. Would you like me to share a quick word on that, sir?
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
It's my pleasure. So picture me. I'm sitting at my desk about 3 years ago, and another one of my blessings, I've got two hardworking young adult children. My daughter's now 26, and my son is 23. And my son called me. He was up at University of Florida. He was finishing in his last year. And he called me one day and said, "Dad, I'm thinking of starting a business." He happens to be a finance major, and now he's working 100 hours a week for J.P. Morgan locally. And he said, "Dad, would you take a look at it?" And I was pleased that he asked me because my kids know I was not an entrepreneur, et cetera. And I took a look at the New Essentials Corporation. And I called him back the next day, and I said, "Danny, you should be involved with this and do it right away. And I want to be healthy, so I'll be your first customer." And he's an interesting, bright young man. And Rob, do you know when you try to tell somebody something and then they want more information? Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, yes.
Well, so I tell my son to go ahead, but then he starts to press me. He said, "Dad, well, why? You're my father. Why do you think I should do this?" And I said, Danny, well, I'll give you a couple of reasons off the top of my head. Number one, I'm your father who is pretty much responsible for your financial life, and there's no money being put up. There's no money being risked, so I don't have to worry about that situation, obviously. I said, number two, Danny, the fact that the goal of this company is to grow to a size that they're giving away $1 million a month to feed children here in the United States, and then around the world, but focused here in our country, that tells me it's all about integrity. I said, from a product health standpoint of view, with 70% of Americans starting at a young age being overweight or clinically obese, Lord knows we need to get healthier. And I said, Danny, you're on a college campus with 40,000 kids. Launch this immediately. And then I was prepared to get off the phone. And, Rob, that's when everything changed because Danny said, Dad, I have one more question. I said, Son, what is that? He said, well, would you do this with me? Rob, do you know that I laughed in his face? I laughed now telling the story. And he said, Dad, well, why won't you do it? I said, Danny, I'm intrigued, but I can't. Well, Dad, why can't you? You just told me how great it was and about how they're going to give away $1 million a month and they're going to feed children. I said, Danny, I am intrigued and I'm glad to support you in your endeavors, but here's why I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because I don't care how good these products are. I'll eat them. I want to lose weight, lower my blood pressure, get off my high cholesterol medicine. I believe in all that. But I'm not going to sell anything in my office because, Rob, it wouldn't be a good fit as a child psychologist. And then I said, Danny, the other issue is when I see a family, I'm Dr. Joe, I'm their child psychologist. I cannot talk with people in my office about a business opportunity. It's an ethical conflict. And, Rob, my son knows I'm black and white. And so that was the end of the story. And luckily for me and for the thousands of children that I'm going to end up feeding, he called me back 3 days later, and you know children can be stubborn. At least my children can be. Rob, you haven't known any stubborn children in your life?
Yeah, I was one.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. Well, luckily for me, my son called me back, and he said, Dad, with all due respect, and I got to love it when your own kid says, Dad, with all due respect, he said, I want to continue this conversation. I said, Danny, I'm happy to, but those points, son, those are non-negotiable. What is it you want to share with me? And he said, Dad, with all due respect, knowing you as my father, I just don't think you can see this opportunity because it's outside of your comfort zone. And I said, honey, you know what? You're probably right. What do you want me to do? He said, Dad, I want you to meet a couple people, take a look. If it doesn't resonate, I want you to be my customer. 5% off the top goes to Feed Children through Children Incorporated. We want to feed, you know, the 20 million kids who are starving. But if it does resonate, let's work together. Well, Rob, the end of the story is I met a couple of people, and now I am proud to share with you I am a national leader in our company despite the fact that I don't sell anything here in my office, and during the week I don't do this here in my office. How did I become a national leader? I just like sharing with people, and I like being able to tell people, I've got something for you to take a look at if you want to get the healthiest you've ever been. And I like telling people, if you want to look at an opportunity, and I don't arm twist anybody, I'm not chasing anybody down the street, but if you want to look at an opportunity that is working for me, here's my website, here's my cell phone, take a look. And Rob, that is how I became a child psychologist, and now I get to be an entrepreneur, and I'm loving it.
And I'm on Dr. Joe's website, thenewessential.com/drdrjoe, and that's nuessentials.com/Dr. Joe. And Dr. Joe, you said something in there that people may have missed, but it is the body that leads the mind. And when you got a healthy body, your mind becomes healthier. Do you feel that?
Well, I absolutely believe that. I mean, let's just look at obesity. or let's just look at overweight. And Rob, I don't know how old you are, but I'm turning 58 this Saturday, and I'll give you a quick example about healthy mind, healthy body. I've been involved with New Essentials now for a while, and last year in Washington at our family reunion, because Rob, this company, this is like being a part of a prosperity community, a growing family. And last summer, our president, you know, got up in front of us and he said, folks, we've got to help America get into shape. I mean, the cost of obesity is in the billions of dollars now, billions of dollars being spent trying to deal with the medical complications of being heavy. Now, I'm not a big guy. I'm 5'8". And last August, I weighed the heaviest I've ever been, which was 167 pounds, even though I run every day. And we unrolled this new set of products designed to help people safely and comfortably just manage their weight. Well, I said if I was going to tell someone, I can't tell someone to do something if I'm not willing to do it myself. It's like, Rob, although I'm not big for medicine, there's a certain amount of my patients who need medicine in order to function. I'm out of Boston, I'm very conservative, but if you were to bring me a child and your child's hands are red because he or she is washing them 50 times a day, 60 times a day, Rob, that child needs to be on medicine ASAP. So there are times when children need to be evaluated for medicine because they're not able to function. Now, do I believe as a society, as a child psychologist, we jump on the medicine bandwagon way too quickly? Heck yes, I do, just like we're all jumping on diagnoses. Nowadays, unless you have like 19 letters after your name, you're not normal. What happened to just being normal? What happened to just being regular? My point is, if I'm going to refer a child or a family to a child psychiatrist, I can't refer to that as a psychiatrist unless I would let him or her treat my own children. Rob, I can't tell you to take a product of mine, one of my New Essentials products, unless I'm eating it myself. So I started at 167, and now I weigh 152 pounds. I weigh what I weighed in high school when I was playing lacrosse. But can I share something with you?
Share whatever you choose, Dr. Joe. This is about opening people's lives. And
we've got people who are changing their bodies. Now, I lost 15 pounds, and I've got, I mean, forgetting about that, I think I look better, I feel better. I've got incredible energy. Rob, do you know that for every pound you lose, it's as if your heart has to pump your blood through 1 mile less of arteries and veins? For every pound you lose, the physicians tell me it's like 5 pounds less on your weight-bearing joints, your ankles, your knees. Imagine when someone loses 15 pounds, it's as if she or he is carrying 45 pounds less on his or her back. So last Thursday, because we've got a lot of support, we have calls Tuesday nights, we have calls Thursday, et cetera, because this is like a family working together, whether it's about making money or feeding children or just taking care of your health. Well, last Thursday, our vice president was leading our new challenge call on Thursday nights, and the guest speaker is a very, very interesting gentleman who's now 40 years old, and he decided that he, for once in his life, had it to take charge of his life. Rob, he started our products a month ago. I'll buy you dinner if you can tell me how much he, within the closest 50 pounds, how much Derek weighed when he started. You've got a 50-pound swing, and I'll buy you dinner, sir.
Right around 400 pounds.
Well, you know what? I'm still going to buy you dinner because he started 464 pounds. And to hear this gentleman, Derek, talk about his decision to change his life and go be able to dream about going on an airplane, because when you weigh 460 pounds, you can't fly and you don't want to go outside. And you don't feel good about yourself. He's already lost 37 pounds. He's going to get down to 225 pounds. Rob, when you don't feel good, your mind's not going to work properly. How many children go to school every day not feeling good? And they might come from an okay family, whether the parents are married or divorced or whatever, but if you don't feel good about yourself, how are you going to study? How are you going to have the confidence to make friends or play sports or play in the marching band? And again, this is not about looks. It's about physical health. Rob, do you ever go to an airport?
Yes.
Do you ever go to a store like Walmart or any big store?
Oh, yeah. Grocery stores, yes.
Okay, the next time you do, I want you to start just looking at people and just count in tens. And then we'll have another conversation and you report back to me. And I'm curious, when you just start grouping adults or children in groups of tens, I'm wondering how you're going to find people in terms of whether or not you think they look healthy, whether they're heavy, whether they're dragging, whether they look like they've lost their confidence. See, when Phil Mims, the president of my company, challenged us to do this, and he said, you're going to see about 70%. I thought Phil was nuts. And so when our family reunion, which is our global meeting, ended, and I drove and took a cab to the airport and was flying home, I started looking at people, and by golly, it had to be 60 or 70%. Rob, how come adults are so heavy? How come we don't do a better job taking care of ourselves? We have the knowledge. What do you think gets in the way?
It takes getting off the couch and putting up the video game and the TV.
All right. It takes getting off the couch. Would you agree, sir, that it starts with a decision? A decision to make a change.
Yeah,
and whether
or
not it's a decision to be in better health or whether or not it's a decision to be a better parent or whether it's not the decision to treat your fellow human beings with more kindness, wouldn't you agree that it all starts with a decision?
It does. And, you know, something else you can tie being overweight to is a poverty consciousness and a fear.
And you are right smack dab in your ballpark, so to speak. What is the fear all about? What do you find?
We have been taught, if you look at it, Dr. Joe, we have been taught to succeed and be successful is a bad thing. Subconsciously, we've been taught that wealth and success is bad. And so people get into this and, you know, I'm 58 also, and we have there's two things with this country's never expanded out of, the Civil War and the 30s.
They keep
living it, and we keep that poverty consciousness going. And if you listen to the news, tax the rich, tax the rich. No, don't tax the rich. Open your own innovative talent and let the rich people show you how they made their money, not what take their money.
And you know what, Rob? It's so funny because we could be partners in my company because it's interesting. When I share this opportunity, and again, this for me is stuff that I started learning at age 55. And when I start telling people about multi-level marketing and about relationships and about, you know, not having to believe that everything has to be done in this corporate, cutthroat, put everybody down, a lot of people start looking at me like with their eyes crossed. I've heard people say, oh, it's one of those Amway things. That doesn't work. And when someone says that to me, I don't get angry. I don't get frustrated. But when someone says to me, oh, that stuff doesn't work, that Amway doesn't work, what they're telling me is they haven't done the research. I would say that any company that does $12 billion in sales is doing something correct. I've never seen $1 billion. I've never held $1 million in my own hands, much less $12 billion. And so when people are closed to innovation because they're afraid of change, and someone says to me, oh, those pyramid things don't work, the first thing I ask, well, what's a pyramid? What exactly? I've had people that I've known for years that I play golf with say to me, oh, it's one of those scam things when you rip off people. And I turned to my friend the other day and said, Josh, how long have we known each other? He said, about 20 years. I said, how many times have I tried to rip you off? He said, never. I said, why would I start now? But all we do is talk about golf, and Rob, I'm not a good golfer, but I'm an enthusiastic golfer. Golf for me is walking 9 holes at our public course on Sunday morning, tee off at 7:30, done at 9:15, then I got the whole day. And I said, Josh, all you talk about with me is how you're struggling financially and how you'd want to be able, you know, you want to make sure, because his kids are younger, that you're going to have enough to go to college. That's all you tell me about. He's a great guy. I really love him. Been friends for 20 years. So then I say, Josh, before you go tee up that ball, tell me again why. We've known each other for 20 years. I've never tried to rip you off. I've got an opportunity that you should take a look at. Tell me again what you're so afraid of. Rob, I'm going to have him call you, and maybe you can get this fear out of his head. Otherwise, I'm going to have to hit him upside the head with a 9-iron until he takes a look. See, once he takes a look, I've done my job. But I find it fascinating, Rob, when you talk about fear, I've spoken to guys I've known 20 years who will look at me like I'm the devil incarnate, and I'll meet people on Facebook and develop a relationship, and they live all over the country, and guess who's wanting to be healthy and make money and feed starving kids? People I meet on Facebook. Now, tell me that how that works, please.
The biggest, you know, they say public speaking is the biggest fear, Dr. Joe. It isn't. Wealth and success and people seeing their own innovative talent. And what he'd have to let go of is his ingrained belief system and open
right.
up to an enterprising, entrepreneurial, trusting
Let's get down to brass tacks. You walk into a store, right, to buy stuff or to window shop. Now, I'm actually going to stop, you know, again, when we're done and I'm having so much fun, but on the way home, I'm going to stop in a store because I want to pick up some dinner because I'm not a big cook. That's not my thing. Now, I know I'm going to buy what I'm going to buy that's on the shelves in the store. Well, the store didn't make it, and they didn't grow it, and they didn't package it, and they didn't bottle it, and they didn't ship it. So a lot of people have earned a lot of money, so I can go buy that on the shelf. And that's okay because people have to make a living to feed their kids. But it's about bringing products to the marketplace. So along comes, and it's interesting, when people talk about multi-level and they start putting it down, I just start naming publicly traded multi-billion dollar companies. And I go, okay, if you want to put that down, put that down. But don't be putting that on me. So if somebody wants a product, whatever it is, as long as the company has integrity and is honest, and they can bring a product to the marketplace, and rather than spend millions of dollars on advertising, pay people money to advertise, which is all this is. It's about distribution. What's wrong with that idea? And why do people get so afraid of something so simple? Rob, have you ever recommended a movie to somebody?
Yeah, many times.
Have you ever said, go get your hair cut there or don't get your hair cut there?
Yeah. You know, if you get bad service, you tell people to go there. But something to go along with what you're saying, Dr. Joe, the biggest fear people have about success and wealth and something new is they're afraid to say, I don't know.
Now, tell me what you mean by I don't know. I don't know how to do it, or I don't know if I could be successful.
They don't know how to do it. They've never
right.
experienced wealth and success. And what I've really discovered in my own practice, if you can open up, when a challenge hits your life, if you can open up, Dr. Joe, and just say, I don't know, the conscious mind gets calmer, but the subconscious mind kind of takes over, and you become more alert to expand through it.
And you said the key thing, you have to be open to it. And it is a shame that we as a society get so conditioned to failure that we get comfortable with it. I mean, sometimes when I'm working with children, and obviously I'm not talking multi-level marketing with children, we're talking about fear and self-esteem and school and sibling rivalry and pressure and parenting, I will ask children, what are you more afraid of, passing the test or failing the test? And we expect everybody to say, oh, I'm more afraid of failing, but that's not true. Rob, I find that as a society, we often seem to be operating out of a place of fear rather than the anticipation of success.
One of my other golf buddies,
68-year-old gentleman, smaller than me physically, managed to hit a ball in the water and still shot a 37 for 9 holes, one over par. And, of course, I told him I'm never going to play with him again. And as we're walking down the fairway at one point, he said, Joe, do you even hear what you're saying? I said, no. His name is also Joe. Tell me what I'm saying. And he said, well, you just hit a great shot, and then you hit a bad shot, and then you hit a great shot, and I hear you saying, oh, good, Joe, hit a good shot, hit a bad shot. Why don't you just say hit 2 good shots in a row? And I mean, he could have hit me with a 9-iron upside the head. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, why don't you just say hit 2 good shots in a row? Now, Rob, you know what I did, don't you?
You hit 2 good shots in a row.
And then I hit 3 good shots in a row, and then I put the next 2 balls in the water, and I was laughing so hard I thought my stomach was going to give way. A simple expectation. When did we stop expecting good things to come our way? When did we start looking around for that sword of Damocles to fall down and strike us on the head? Rob, you know what I sometimes find? I find that people are always looking down, saying, well, I've got it better than so-and-so. At least I'm not dealing with such-and-such. And I'm not talking about calamities and disasters that happen in our own country and around the world. I'm just talking about normal life. Why can't, instead of looking down and patting ourselves or a loved one on the head and saying, well, honey, at least we got it better than so-and-so, why don't we just look up and say, I want that success. And I don't care how you measure success, but I want that success. And once you decide, ladies and gentlemen, to look up at that success, then you just got to go find a way to do it. And then it happens. Because you've put that positive energy out in the world, and it comes flying back. And whatever opportunity you get involved in, if it's one that helps other people, then you really start to get paid. Inside and out.
No, that's it. It's inside out. But here's the thing. To expand your life into your desired life, you have to let go of something. And we become hoarders of poverty.
Well, I think we get afraid to let go. We've been
hanging on.
And it's interesting. I see that in my child psychology practice. People, even children, will hang on to what they're doing, even if it's self-destructive. I mean, one of the most striking pieces I've ever read in all my years of training was written by a patient at an eating disorders hospital. This was years ago, and the piece was entitled My Eating Disorder / My Best Friend. And it was so powerful how this woman was able to describe a very, very difficult to treat psychiatric condition, eating disorder. In this case, it was anorexia. But she wrote it as, this is my best friend. It's never late, always there. I know what to expect, and you can expand on that. Somehow we've been conditioned to hold on to stuff that we've got to let go.
And Dr. Joe, it comes from a poverty consciousness. And we've been taught if you let something go, somebody else is going to get it. It's really a selfish thing. Stingy, poverty consciousness that we thought if we don't hold on, we might help somebody else.
there's so much stuff that's swirling through my mind. Let me just focus on this thought. I haven't been on an athletic team since playing high school lacrosse. And I love and football, but I was a better lacrosse player. And I love being on a team. And what do I love, bottom line, about multi-level marketing? And see, I call it multi-level marketing. I don't call it relationship marketing, and I don't call it one of those things. I call it multi-level marketing because it's about multiple layers of people bringing products or services to the marketplace, rather than the manufacturer, the shipper, the retailer. I think it's the purest business model there is. However, why do I love it? Because when I talk with someone, in fact, Rob, after the show, I have a phone call scheduled with a young woman who lives in California who I met on Facebook a week ago. And we're talking back and forth, and I've shared my company with her. And right before we went on the air, I got a Facebook message, "Hey, I know you're doing a show. Can you call me tonight? I want to get started." What I love about it is my success is based on her success. If I'm not able to help people that are attracted to my message and my prosperity community become successful, there is no success. I love that team concept. I breathe it because I now know it's the real deal. And it excites me inside and out.
See, that's the key thing. We measure things by money instead of by how much we expand other people's lives.
And when you and if money is the object, let's just say money is the object. I sat down yesterday with a young woman to show her my business. We met for a cup of coffee. Gives me an excuse to get out of the office every once in a while. And she's done her homework. She's watched all the videos. She knows the comp plan inside and out. And she said, "Joe, before you take me through it, why are you involved with this company? You obviously earn a good living. You've had a private practice for 25 years." So I said, "I love that you asked me that question, and I'll tell you why. I'm now a child psychologist, and I'm an entrepreneur." I said, "I'll give you two reasons. Next Saturday, I'm turning 58 years old, and when I turn 60, I want to reach two goals. I have two goals in mind. The first goal is I want to be feeding 1,000 children a month through my efforts and the efforts of people I bring on board. How am I going to feed these 1,000 children? Well, our company gives 5% off the top to charity. Our goal is to grow our company until we're giving away $1 million a month. Right now we are aligned with an organization called Children Incorporated that's been up since 1963. They feed children all around the world, and we are feeding kids here in the United States. We feed inner city kids, we feed kids in the Appalachian mountain areas, and we feed Native Americans. We also give to the Make-A-Wish Foundation because we like granting wishes." So I said to this young woman, I said, "My first goal is I want to be feeding 1,000 children a month because I'm going to sleep really, really well. My second goal is if I want to retire from my practice in 2 years, and I don't know that I'm going to because I told you I'm not good at golf. What am I going to do all day long? But, Rob, I want the freedom to do what I want to do and not be here in this office, which I love, 60, 70 hours a week. And now that I'm heading in that direction, the question I ask myself is, why on earth did it take me so long to find something like this?"
Now, that's because society, and if you listen to the news, a lot of people listen to the news, and they get bought into the TV, and they buy into what the media says, and they become fearful rather than shut the TV off and listen to themselves.
Well, I think there's a lot of conditioning that goes on. I mean, there's all sorts of conditioning that's divisive for even healthy child development. I keep People magazine in my waiting room. I keep a couple magazines, including People Magazine. If I ask the next 10 parents, if my office manager polled the next 10 families, you know, hey, why does Dr. Joe have People Magazine in the waiting room? I bet most of these parents are going to say, oh, because they know it's entertaining, we all like to read it. No, that's not why I have People Magazine. I have People Magazine in my office because every once in a while, actually it's more common than that, I get a young person, not just women, could be men as well, young 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old kids, who start to let me know that their self-esteem and their self-image is not what I think it should be because of how they look. And it's not just weight, it could be anything. And they will go on to describe all the great-looking kids in school and all of this and all of this. And then I start to talk with them about, well, where did this thinking come from? And I've had kids argue me till our voices are raised, Dr. Joe, that's just the way it is. And I'll say, you mean it's not society? We haven't conditioned ourselves? We're not our own worst enemy? No. Well, then I say, I'll be right back. And I'll go in the waiting room, scoop up a bunch of People magazines, throw them down on the floor, and now you're going to tell me that this is not something that we've induced into our society? Look who's in People magazine. I don't care if people are popular, but look what we're doing to ourselves about body image, that you have to look a certain way. Where do you think all of our children are getting these horrible messages from? We're promoting it, and we have to stop. Have to stop doing this. So that's why I got People magazine in my waiting room. It is a teaching point, and it's a powerful one.
And it is, and that's the thing. And you see, I also wrote a book, Joe, called Fear is My Friend. It's wrote in rhymes. But we're afraid to succeed because we don't understand that. We understand poverty and people can stay there. It's painful, but it's easy.
Well, and you know, Rob, if I didn't know better, again, I would say you were hanging out with my friend, Dr. Kevin Pine, who's the vice president of my New Centrals Corporation. Funny story, I came on board the company, and like 2 or 3 days later, my secretary buzzed the intercom and said, Dr. Joe, there's a Dr. Pine on the phone for you. So I said, who's Dr. Pine? And she said, I don't know. So I said, well, give me a second. So I start to run through the child psychiatrist that I know, the psychologist that I know, and I could not come up with, who is this Dr. Pine? So I get on the phone. I said, hi, Dr. Pine. It's Dr. Joe. How are you doing? He says, fine. How are you doing? So we start to talk a little bit, and I'm trying to figure out, like, did I just refer a patient to him, or I don't know. Anyway, so finally, luckily, he saves me, but he says, hey, Dr. Joe, can I ask you a question and give me an honest answer? I said, of course, sir. He said, you don't know who I am, do you? So I said, no, and I assume we're working with a patient together. He said, Dr. Joe, you know that company that you just joined 2 days ago through your son? Yeah. He said, I'm Dr. Kevin Pine. I'm the vice president, and I'm calling you to say hi. Now, Rob, I haven't really gotten in trouble since maybe I was in high school. I'm trying to think, what kind of mistake could I have made 2 days in the company that the vice president's already calling me? Because I'm coming from that, what did I do wrong model. That's what you're talking about. What did I do wrong? And I literally said, Dr. Pine, why are you calling me? And he said, well, I just heard this interesting child psychologist got introduced to our prosperity community through his son, who's, thank God, financially oriented. And I want to reach out, and I wanted to get to know you. The point of my story, Kevin and I have become vast, vast, vast good friends. But about 6 months into him taking me under his wing, he said, Joe, here's my assessment. Or actually, it was about 4 months in when he really got to know me. He said, you're going to be incredibly successful with my company. You're going to help feed kids. You're going to blow it up. But I'm going to tell you what your only problem is. And I said, well, what's my problem? He said, well, you're outgoing. That's not a problem. He said, you're passionate. That's not a problem. He said, you want people to be successful. Heck, you've been helping people in your other career for 25 years. I said, Kevin, with all due respect, sir, what do you think my problem is going to be? And he said to me, you don't believe, you can't believe that you're going to be wealthy financially. And I said, of course I can. He said, no, you can't. And Rob, it took me about a year in this company before I started to change my own thinking, just as you were saying, sir, and come to the wonderful conclusion that it is okay and good for me to go ahead and become financially wealthy, because you know why? I'm going to help a lot of people do the same thing, and I'm going to feed a lot of kids. And it's okay to do it, and it's a good thing. I had to learn that lesson.
And that's true. We fear wealth and success, and we fear having it for ourselves, because we've been taught that's where the tax people tax the rich. Wealth is bad, and we've been taught that, and that's the biggest lie there is. Money's an energy of wisdom and innovation.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And anyway, Dr. Joe, we've come now to the end of the show, and I really want to thank you for being my guest. And it's newessentials.com/Dr. Joe to get your vitamin. I was on there looking. It's quite interesting. You want to get out of the poverty mode? Talk to Dr. Joe. And just Dr.
Rob,
Joe.
It has been my pleasure meeting you, and I look forward to just now. Just building a long-lasting friendship with you. Thank you, sir, and thank you for allowing me to share a few thoughts with your audience.
Well, we'll have you back, because this is what this show is about. It's about expanding people's, well, it's actually their wisdom, which is their wealth. They will grow financially, personally, before they grow financially. And that's
absolutely
the thing. We got to.
And Rob, anybody wants to look me up, thank you for sharing the website. I'm also on Facebook as drjoe.rabinovitz, drjoe.rabinovitz, R-A-B-I-N-O-V-I-T-Z, Dr. Joe Rabinovitz. I'm on Facebook. Rob, thank you so much, sir.
Well, thank you, Dr. Joe, and thank you all the listeners. And I will be sending you an MP3 of this. It's to have on your website.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
And good night, Dr. Joe and everybody, and we'll see you Thursday night with Mr. Hawking. He's a Western author. And good night, and thank you, Joe. It was very good.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye.